You're listening to Leg Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. For some people, Valentine's Day is a nice occasion to celebrate the love in our lives. For others, it's just another Hallmark holiday. But no matter what your personal feelings are about February 14th, the day can be a time to reflect on how you show up in your relationships. Anita Astley is a Brookfield-based marriage and family psychotherapist. She chats with Leg Effect's Mallory Chang about how to avoid disappointment on Valentine's Day and how to build a healthy relationship with yourself and those around you the other 364 days of the year.
So Anita, welcome to Leg Effect. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is such an exciting topic to talk about.
Your book, Unfuck Your Life and Relationships, combines both personal stories and your 25 years of experience as a psychotherapist to help readers build healthy relationships. So with Valentine's Day today, relationships and love are on the mind. But this day kind of feels like it's catered to only couples or can create really unrealistic expectations that could lead to big disappointment. And for everyone today, no matter their relationship status, how can we avoid feeling disappointed on Valentine's Day?
Well, it's an interesting day because you have people who love the day and people who poo-poo the day and people who don't give a shit, okay, who don't really care. But it does bring a lot of issues to the forefront, whether you're in a relationship, whether you're single, coming out of a relationship, or you're mourning the loss of a loved one, or you're in a relationship that's highly conflicted. February 14th will bring everything to the forefront, even for the people who say they ignore it, they really don't. So if you're in a relationship currently, and it's a pretty healthy relationship, the things that you need to manage and manage with your partner are definitely expectations, the issue of comparisons, and the third one is magnifications. Now, when we talk about expectations, if our expectations are not met, we are going to be disappointed. It's pretty logical and pretty clear, but it seems to me from my experience in my office of 25 years, they have no idea what their partner is expecting. And I'm always mesmerized. Like, how do you not know? They're operating on this. I'm just going to assume, or I'm going to read my partner's mind through these bodies, these signals that she or he has been sending me. I'm like, no, stop it. You need to have an open and honest conversation about Valentine's Day. And don't do it on Valentine's Day, okay? Do it way before the day comes so you're not going to disappoint your partner. And let me tell you something. You might be a person in a relationship who doesn't care about Valentine's Day, would just sleep through it or ignore it. However, your partner may want to celebrate that day. And, you know, relationships are all about making compromises. The other one is comparisons. We have to stop comparing. We live in a world of social media where everybody's posting everything that they do, live, and breathe because they want the world to know what a spectacular day they had, even if they didn't have it, right? You know what I'm talking about. I encourage people, don't post your Valentine's Day. Be in the moment. Enjoy the day for what it is, okay? Not for what it's going to look like or be on social media. Do not add to the toxicity of comparisons. The other one is magnification. What does that mean? It highlights all the issues we have in our relationship, right? You're in the middle of a fight with your boyfriend, girlfriend, or whoever. Then it's Valentine's Day, and you're like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do? We're in the middle of this heated argument. Clearly, I'm not going to, hey, you want to go for some dinner, babe? You're not going to say that. But what I tell you you should do is put the conflict on a bookshelf for that day. And write a love letter. You might not want to spend the day with them because you're mad at them, but you can definitely come up with a letter to highlight some of the positive things that have happened in the relationship. I mean, the relationship came somewhere. There was some love. Think and focus about those things and write a letter. It doesn't have to be some expensive thing that you have to do because people often complain about that. Well, it costs a lot of money. I have to buy flowers. And of course, flower companies and Hallmark makes them. It doesn't have to be that way. A simple gesture of a love letter, sharing your thoughts and feelings that are positive about the person that you're with, that will make somebody really happy that you're having kind of a conflict with. The other one, the other type of relationship is people who are single. They say they're not in a relationship. I said, well, you kind of are. You have a relationship primarily with yourself. And this is a day that's very confrontational about what you're missing. Well, don't. Try to look at yourself as and practice some self-love. You can do that. Go for a massage, go for a walk, do something that you wouldn't necessarily do for yourself. Do it on that day. Be proactive Organized Galentine's, I'm sure you've heard of that. Girls getting together, a group date. So be proactive, stop feeling sorry for yourself and be reactive on Valentine's Day and be all depressed and all that kind of stuff. But for people who've lost a loved one, it's their first Valentine's Day. And if there were people who, a couple who really celebrated the day with a lot of love, think of something that you did together on that day, that memory that stands out in your mind, and comfort yourself, soothe yourself with that memory.
Yeah, exactly. You have love in your life. It doesn't always have to be your romantic relationships. And in your book, too, you talk about how to identify psychological dynamics that do us more harm than good. You talked a little bit about how to avoid disappointment on Valentine's Day. But generally, in our relationships outside of February 14th, what are some examples of psychological dynamics that do us more harm in our relationships with ourselves? How do they look like and what could they be?
Well, there's a lot of issues that, you know, we can use a Valentine's Day as kind of a springboard to examine the rest of our relationship. And when we talk about needs and expectations, we are talking about whether our relationship is going to be a healthy one or not. You need to know what your needs and expectations are of your partner, of yourself, and then, of course, of your partner. And we need to communicate those in our relationships. If we don't do that, it's going to lead to disappointment, whether we're talking about February 14th, whether we're talking about parenting, finances, physical intimacy, emotional intimacy. We need to be able to communicate. Now, we are the most connected globally right now, but I would tell you from my experience in working with people, we are the least connected emotionally. And emotional intimacy is the bedrock of all healthy relationships. So I work with people all the time. The most common problem people walk in with, I'm not connected to my partner. I'm not feeling it anymore. And then when I listen and I learn more about their relationships and their dynamics, we spend way too much time on social media. We're connected to our virtual world more than we are to our real world. And we need to get back to the basics of love and life, which involves simple things like eating together. In my book, I talk about the concept of gathered eating versus scattered eating. Most people today that I listen to in my office and even outside my office are engaged in what I call scattered eating. You walk into a household, somebody's eating at the computer, somebody's eating in front of the TV, somebody's eating upstairs. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is clearly f***ed up. We should not be eating this way. When we eat together, we learn so much about our partner, our children, our families, that whatever it is that they did during the day. I mean, think about it. When is it during the day do you get to connect with somebody that's living in your household? It might be your kids, your parents, whoever it is. We need to get back to the table and get back to gathered eating. I actually love Valentine's Day. And that's not just because I'm a relationship therapist. I love it because I look at it as a day to prioritize your relationship. It's all about the set intentions of spending time together. And when people say to me, well, I can do that on February, whatever, or 16th or 15th or in December. And then I say to them, well, do you? And the answer usually is no. That's why we have date night. So why not make date night February 14th. You don't have to make it a Hallmark holiday. You don't even have to buy flowers, but you can get back to eating together. And that's one of the basic and simple ways of building emotional intimacy in your relationships.
I do want to talk about that too, Anita. You talk about emotional intimacy, and of course you talk about it in terms of with a couple, with your kids, with your family, with your friends. What can emotional intimacy look like? Is that different for other people?
Yes. Well, let's define what the term means, because I think there's often confusion between emotional intimacy and physical intimacy. Emotional intimacy is when we can emotionally be naked with the significant people in our lives, that we're not hiding underneath our clothes. We are able to say what we really think and feel without worrying that it's going to be misconstrued, without worrying that they're going to betray us. We need to be able to have an open and honest conversation with the people in our lives. That's emotional intimacy. It is true emotional intimacy when we can do all those things. And think about it, in your relationships with the people that you feel closest to, they're probably the ones you can go to when you have a problem, where you can really say what you think and feel and not pretend or not engage in this mind reading thing that people, you know, on Valentine's Day often do. Oh, I thought she didn't want anything. Oh, I thought he didn't want to do anything. I'm like, well, did you ever talk about it? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, how do you expect to know this? And how is that going to build emotional intimacy? All these things are connected to each other. When we talk about expectations, If I know what your needs and expectations are, that's going to help us to feel connected emotionally, which is, again, the cornerstone and bedrock of all healthy relationships.
And I do want to touch on another topic that works with emotional intimacy, which is conflict. And dealing with conflict in any relationship is really scary. And it really feels heightened, especially when you're dealing with conflict with someone you really care about, or your romantic partner, or a loved one. And with conflict brings up issues, becomes a me versus you situation, but that's not healthy communication. But what are some tips that you have as a psychotherapist on how to have healthy conflict and how to manage it in a productive way?
When we're trying to reach some level of emotional intimacy with our partner, it's going to breed conflict. Intimacy breeds conflict. The closer we get to know somebody, the more we're going to be able to be ourselves. And we are not mirror images of the other. And what is a conflict? It is really when you say you have one view of something and I have a different view of something and they collide. That doesn't have to be negative, but sadly in our society, it's portrayed as something very negative, and that's something that we should avoid. Most of us try to avoid conflict. I get it. It's not a pleasant thing to have to go through, but it's all about thinking about conflict a certain way, thinking about confrontation a certain way, and thinking about resolution a certain way. They're all interconnected. And when we have conflict in our relationship, for me, as I teach and I talk to with my patients and everybody listening today, when you have a conflict in your relationship, it is really a moment that you can either increase your emotional intimacy, decrease it, or it stays stagnant. It is an opportunity to bring your relationship to a different level. If you and I have a conflict over something, we're able to confront it, which most people are afraid of, but we're also able to resolve it because we've had an open and honest conversation about it. That will bring us closer together. How we handle that will either bring us closer together, it will drift us further apart, or it will keep the relationship where it is. In all healthy relationships, there is conflict. There's going to be conflict. Because people say to me, well, we fight too much. We don't want to fight anymore. And I say, no. Fighting is a normal, healthy part of building emotional intimacy of a relationship if you want this relationship to go further, and it's going to be a long-term sustainable relationship. We need to be able to fight with each other in a way that's healthy. And you talked about communication before. There's a chapter in my book all about that, because people come in with, I have communication issues. I'm like, oh, well, that's a huge umbrella. What are we talking about here? But the basic things we need to be able to do is we need to be able to actively listen to each other. Yes, listening, my friends, is an active process. It is not this passive process that we think about. So we need to actively listen. And what does that mean? We are really taking in what the other person is saying. On a basic level, we are not forming a rebuttal while the other person is talking, because, you know, all of us are guilty of that. We just want to jump in. But if we are forming rebuttals, we're not in the moment. We're not actively listening to our partner. We need to be able to say back to them what they said to us and validate some of those thoughts and feelings. On the other side of active listening is effective speaking. We need to be able to share our thoughts and feelings in a very concise manner and be very clear, and not, you know, I would say, hey, we don't have to go around the globe to say what you're thinking and feeling. Take the linear path. Just say it. People don't say it because they're afraid. Well, just say it. Eventually, you are going to have to say it. So let's do it in a proactive manner, but not in a reactive manner in the middle of a fight. It's not going to be actively listened to at all. And you're not going to get to a place of conflict resolution.
Yeah, definitely. Valentine's Day brings up a lot of those feelings and emotions. And
it does.
Yeah. And Anita, I really appreciate you being here on Lake Effect. And I really appreciate you talking about your book. Thank you again for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on, and happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Anita Astley is a Brookfield-based marriage and family psychotherapist. She's also the author of Un-F Your Life and Relationships. She spoke with Lake Effect's Mallory Chang.